This is Debs the Horoscopes Lady, and this is a sidereal astrology show. Now, it will be developing as we go on here, and you're probably wondering what sidereal astrology is. I mean, what's the difference? It's not, you may have heard of Vedic astrology, but what is sidereal astrology? Let me start first with what the astrology most of us practice here in the West is. It's called tropical astrology. And at any time, you're welcome to call in and ask me questions about your chart. First couple of weeks, the format here is going to be a little loose, and we'll tighten it up as we get on in the season. But tropical astrology is what people generally practice here in the West. And it is a beautiful mathematic formula that's followed to get tropical astrology. And what happens is, every year as the sun crosses the equinox, comes up, we got the first day of spring here, all the astrologers in the West said, okay, that's 0 degrees Aries. That's going to be 0 degrees Aries. And when it comes up in the summer, longest day of the year, that's going to be 0 degrees Cancer. And likewise in the fall equinox, we call that 0 degrees Libra. And during the winter, during the shortest day of the year here in the Northern Hemisphere, we're going to call that 0 degrees Capricorn. And we're going to divide everything in between by 30 degrees. It is a beautiful mathematical construct. The problem is it's off considerably. When astrology got started 2,000 years ago, it lined up pretty much with the constellations. Matter of fact, it lined up so well, a lot of people used the system. But others said, you know what, we're going to check out the constellations every year just to make sure things are where we say they are. And over the last 2,000 years, the precession of the equinoxes has caused a little shift. Matter of fact, 23 degrees shift. So I would tell you today, February 21st, after check here, it is Mercury retrograde, February 21st, 2007, the sun is actually at 8 degrees of Aquarius. It's not at the end of Aquarius at all. It's at 8 degrees of Aquarius. And Mercury, which has caused a great deal of problems, is going retrograde, also in Aquarius at 11 degrees. Why do all this? What's the point of doing all this? I will tell you my own story as to why I got started with it. I was a tropical astrologer for 15 years and very happy being a tropical astrologer, doing what everybody else was doing here in the West. Except every once in a while, you know, things wouldn't be quite right and people would say, well, they're born on the cusp. Or, well, you're a little bit of this, you're a little bit of that. Sometimes things start a little bit earlier. And, you know, that bugged me. It just really bugged me because you're either one or the other. I mean, it's either, you know, we're doing this or we're doing that. It's very, very few times in nature that you're a little bit of both when it comes to certain events, and at any rate. And so a very dear friend of mine, Rick Halk, who passed away about 5 years ago, and is probably single-handedly responsible for making Vedic astrology very popular in this country. He came after James Braha, but he really pushed the cause. He invited me up to his house one day. He had gone Vedic. We say gone Vedic for about 3 years. He invited me up to his house one day and at the lure of Lido's Pizza. Now, anybody raised around College Park, Maryland, you know about Lido's Pizza, okay? So I said, all right, I'll make the hour and a half drive up there for that. But before we could go out, he had about 100 charts to show me. And he started out with Elvis Presley and Marilyn Monroe and all these famous people's charts. And Marilyn Monroe is supposed to be, tropically, she is a Gemini. And, yeah, I know she married Norman Mailer, but for heaven's sake, you know, the woman was not known for wit and intellect. She was known for her sensuality. She's a Taurus. She's a sidereal Taurus or a Vedic Taurus. And he showed me all these different charts. And finally, he pulled out my chart. And I am tropically a Virgo rising, you know, always busy, you know, kind of a put-together Julie Andrews type when we think of them. And I was wearing this wonderful orange and red tie-dye outfit. And my hair is only brushed for about the first 5 minutes after I run a brush through it. And I am a Leo rising, sidereally. And he looked and he said, what in the world ever made you think you were a Virgo rising? And I fought and I argued and I fussed. But I said, all right, being a good astrologer, I don't want to just believe what people tell me. I want to observe, because I think astrologers, as a rule, are natural scientists. We like to observe. We like to know that we've run the test ourselves. We just don't want to, you know, take it whole and say, okay, I believe that no matter what you're telling me. So I took a half a dozen of my clients, and the intention was to follow them out for 2 years and see which zodiac worked. And I knew without a doubt within 2 months, sidereal astrology worked better. And I knew within two more months that something called whole signs, the whole sign house system, which the Vedics use, worked better also. And this was tough. I didn't want to give up the way I'd done stuff. I didn't want to give up. I didn't want to say, gee, I'd been wrong. You know, what was I doing all these years? But the thing I've learned, particularly from being a mom, is that, you know, kids don't have any of that. They're all about, let's improve. Let's get it right. Let's be better each and every day. And if you have to change the way you're doing to make it better, then that's what you do. And so about 15, oh my goodness, now almost 18 years ago, I went sidereal. And so that's part of what this show is going to do, is promote sidereal astrology. And if I have to do it one chart at a time, I will get people at least to look at this and see what a wonderful, wonderful tool it is to use in our lives. What's the difference between sidereal and Vedic? The interpretations. In Vedic astrology, because of the system in the East where it's brought up and people's lives are, they're very much more formulated than they are here. If you're born into a certain family who does a certain type of business, then by golly, that's typically what you're going to do the rest of your life. And that's the way their politics and their culture works. The reason to do sidereal, which uses the same mathematical computations as Vedic, is because here in the West, we do get so much more free will, an incredible amount of free will, to the point where we don't exercise it as often as we could, because we kind of take it for granted. So that's why when you hear about sidereal astrology, as you will more and more and more, and I will have other sidereal astrologers on board to talk about how they use sidereal astrology in their work and why they are sidereal astrologers, I hope, like I said, you'll look at this yourself. Let's take a look at Mercury retrograde, which in any system causes a great deal of problems and upsets, particularly in the printing world or communications. And we just had a little bit of that going on here between Don and myself. I might as well say, just discovered that somewhere along the line, my phone number got printed wrong. And, of course, he picked that up and, you know, we couldn't get in contact with each other. And that actually is something Mercury retrograde is good for. It's brilliant for that. It's good for going back and redoing things, refiling things, figuring out where something was broke or not quite working right, revisiting things and fixing it. I can't tell you how many times people will say their car will break down. I'm like, oh, I'm going to wait until Mercury goes direct to fix it. That's kind of silly. You know, you need to have it fixed. It would have been nice if you had it looked at before Mercury went retrograde. But, you know, life does go on, and this is the time to go back and fix something that broke. You can do that with relationships. I find often during Mercury retrograde, people will come back into your life. You know, back into your life. It's like, you know, you're thinking, gee, you know, I thought I'd gotten rid of this person, or, you know, I hadn't seen them in a while, and I didn't really want to, and boom, they're like a boomerang, and they come back. And that tends to show, okay, I have some issue, maybe not with that person, but with that personality, that I need to fix inside myself. I need to do something about this. Or, you know, I had unfinished business with this person, you know, and I need to figure out what that is and be done with that. It is a wonderful time to go through your cabinets and your filing systems and figure out, you know, what's just sitting around that shouldn't be sitting around where it is, what you can toss and what you can consolidate. I actually recommend people do their taxes during Mercury retrograde, not necessarily file them, but, you know, gather all the information, look at everything, and get that done. I know I can hear some of you right now going, oh, my gosh, what was that? Well, you know, because I know plenty of people who would not even go near any type of work like that. But it is all about research and figuring things out. So, no, as a matter of fact, I plan to be doing, our taxes as much as I do them, you know, this next week, and making sure that I look twice when I put down the numbers, that they are the correct numbers. But it's a wonderful time for research. Mercury retrograde, what other, it's so funny because that's one of those things, it happens three times a year, and non-astrologers will say, you know, what are they talking about? What makes it retrograde? What is that about? They're thinking, is it like the 70s show or something? And no, it's not like that at all. It has to do with our perspective of how the planets travel through the solar system. And because Mercury is so close to the sun, and we are not actually the center of our solar system, but from our perspective, it appears that Mercury is going backwards in the sky instead of forwards in the sky three times a year for 3 weeks. Now, everything but the moon and the sun will do this. Everything else will appear to go backwards at certain times. Mercury affects us so much, not just because it happens three times a year. It happens more often than any of the other planets. But because it does have to do with our communication and with our ability just to get one thought to another. And I'm laughing because it's just all these things this past week that have just, you know, come up, and they're Mercury retrogrades. And it's funny to see how some people, you know, they get really upset, or they get really, you know, bummed out about it. Oh, you know, we couldn't do this. We had to postpone that. Or, oh, I thought it was this and I was late for it, or whatever. Instead of just saying, oh, okay, well, that's just sort of an oh my experience, that happened, now we're going to fix it, and now we're going to move on. I think how Mercury retrograde affects people is more about how they accept mistakes, how they fix their mistakes, and how personal they you know, it's like it's how personal they take things. I think it's more a function of what are people secure in who they are and know that it's all right to occasionally, yeah, you mess up, you're human. You get to do that when you're human. Or do they think that, you know, if I make an error, the world is going to end? And I know I'm sounding dramatic here, but the way some people carry on, you think their world was going to end because they missed something or messed up something or whatever they think is going on. We've got this now until March 8th. So between now and March 8th, unless you were born with Mercury retrograde, which is always the exception to every rule, if you're born with Mercury retrograde, this time does not seem to affect you the same way it does other people. Just, you know, laugh at your mistakes. And even more so, be kind when other people are making mistakes. You can make a wonderful batch of friends by just being nice to people who are making mistakes and having a hard day. And you're there to be kind about it. That's one of the reasons I am an astrologer, I think. I can use it as a tool. It is not something that I believe in. You know, people will say, do you believe in astrology? You know, and it's like, I believe in the basic goodness of human beings. I do believe in one power and presence, God, whatever you want to call God. I believe that the sun will rise tomorrow. But astrology, I don't believe in astrology. Astrology is a tool, and it's a wonderful tool that anybody can use. Just, you know, you can use it as little or as much as you like to carve yourself out a road map to get through the world and to use it. It's like having a good weather report. And I honestly wish I didn't have to be as accurate as the weather people sometimes and still get paid what I do, but there you go. If you can have a decent weather report, then you know what to wear when you go out. You know how to plan for things, and that's the way astrology should be used. Use it as a weather report, so to speak, to find out when's your best time to do things. For instance, right now, all sidereal Capricorns, and by sidereal Capricorn, I mean people that were born somewhere between January 14th to February 12th. Now, I say somewhere between January 14th and February 12th because you can be born, depending on the year, on January 14th and still be a Sagittarius. The sun does not care about our clocks. It doesn't care about our time zone. So it will move into its constellation when it feels like moving into the constellation. So anyway, all sidereal Capricorns to go from January 14th to February 12th or somewhere about that. You may also be a Sagittarius if you were born on that January 14th or maybe even 15th date, depending on if it's leap year or not, or an Aquarius, sidereal Aquarius if you were born February 11th or 12th, again, depending on leap year and the international dateline. But all the sidereal Capricorns, and they should have felt it about 2 days ago, all of a sudden this jump start in their life. And some of them will get real antsy about it. Some of them will get slightly irritated about it because they know they should be doing something, almost like spring should be here now, but not quite yet ready to do it. Some have been thinking for a long time and making plans, so they are more than ready, you know, to get up and go. And what just happened was Mars moved into that constellation, the constellation of Capricorn. And it's going to be there for approximately 6 weeks. Pardon me. It's going to be there for approximately 6 weeks. And during that time, what every Capricorn, sidereal Capricorn, everywhere ought to be doing is making their two-year goals, figuring out what they want to do with themselves for the next 2 years and applying themselves in that way. Now, it can be a new job. It can be a new exercise program. It can be a new hobby. It can be the next step up in their career ladder. It can be any goal that they see attainable in the next 2 years. And during the next 6 weeks, all the sidereal Capricorns, some of them, like I had already mentioned, will be getting antsy or irritated or fussy or somewhere along the line because they haven't quite figured out what it is. And they're also moving just a little bit quicker than everybody else is right now. Just a little bit quicker. And that'll kind of irritate you sometimes, you know, when someone else is like on the other end of that spectrum and they're just taking it easy. And breathe deep. That's all you have to do. Just breathe deep and keep your eye on the prize. Okay, what do I want to do? You know, what do I want to do with myself? How do I want to do this? And that's what they ought to be doing. So if you know a sidereal Capricorn, and again, that's somebody born around the time of January 14th to February 12th, if any 1 year, if you see them, they'll be starting some new phase of existence in the next 6 weeks. That's why I went to sidereal. It works every time. Sidereal whole signs. It works every time. If you know someone who has Capricorn rising in the sidereal system, they'll also be getting this kind of energy flow, not quite to the same extent as the sun Capricorns, but kind of this nice energy flow where, okay, I'm going to go out, and it cracks me up because women do this every single time. Every time Mars moves through their first house, they'll go out and they'll either get a new haircut or new hair color, buy new clothes, something. You know, it's how they present themselves. It's their persona. Men do this also, but it's usually not quite so flamboyant as the women do, but it's something. They'll go out and buy new shoes, you know, anything, new purse, new handbags, you know, new makeup collection, something. It's like because they're presenting themselves in a different way. Now, if you're saying, gee, this sounds interesting, how do I get my sidereal chart without spending, you know, an arm and a leg? You can do it a couple different ways, two of which are absolutely free. You can go to My Birth Chart. That's mybirthchart.com. And there's a free sidereal chart that can be sent to you, emailed to you. And the other thing that you can do also on My Birth Chart, and this I think will cost you $7.50. I should know that, but I don't. It's $7.50. It's called the Zodiac Challenge. And that's where you can compare, and you'll have that mailed to you via snail mail. You can compare being your sidereal chart and your tropical chart and decide which one's, you know, actually is more accurate for yourself. The other thing you can do is go to searchbythestars.com. That's searchbythestars.com. And you can put in anybody's birthday and year. If you have the time, that's great. But if you don't, that's fine, too. And that will calculate for you what someone's gift profile is. And you're saying, well, gee, how will that, you know, help me figure out which one it is? Well, when it comes up and you start seeing that these gift profiles, which are done in the sidereal zodiac, match even the toughest person you have to give a gift to. You know, you've got an in-law or something who's never happy, or, you know, just a friend that's like, oh, God, I never get that right. You know, whoever it is, put that in, and I'll stay away from, we just had Valentine's Day, so I'll stay away from that whole husband and wife thing about how long you can be married to somebody, and still it's like, man, why is it they're always returning what I get them? Or this woman's telling me, gee, she really doesn't like flowers, but of course she likes flowers because all women like flowers. You know, and she sees it as, you know, these things you cut and they're dying. They're just going to die on her, you know, because she'd rather have an experience or something as a gift. So if you put people's birth days and times in my searchbythestars.com, you'll get these free gift profiles. And I invite you to start keeping a log of these things and see how this works. You know, and be a good scientist and figure this out for yourself as to which one works better. It is tough to give up a certain way of thinking that you've had for a long time. And this is just very human and very common. I'm not so sure about the West Coast because I'm certainly an East Coast girl, born, bred, and buttered right here around Washington, D.C. and that whole area. But there's an interesting phenomenon that I've always found that happens every March 17th, and I use this as an example for tropical astrology with people holding on to that after they've been exposed to sidereal astrology. March 17th is St. Patrick's Day, and everybody I know around me will be wearing green, okay? And a lot of them will be, yes, I'm Irish, you know, and they'll be going out and drinking that foul green beer, which is just, any rate, I'm not a complete purist in my food, but I don't like green dye in my beer. At any rate, they'll be doing that, and they'll kiss me, I'm Irish, and, you know, having a big time and all that. And you'll say to some of these people, gee, well, you know, was it your grandparents, your great-grandparents, whatever, and either they don't know, or they'll give you a name that could be anything. And then you find out that they're Protestant, and if you start talking, you will find out that they are not, in fact, Irish, except maybe that was the last port of entry before they came over here. Or they came from North Ireland, up in the Belfast area, which means they were actually English, and that their great-great-grandparents, who were English and came over here proud to be British citizens, would be rolling in their graves to think that their children were out dancing in the streets proclaiming to be Irish. Now, there's no harm in that. I mean, absolutely no harm whatsoever, and it's just kind of a fun secular holiday. It's not the solemn religious holiday anymore. It's time for people to get together and talk about leprechauns and kids, and that's great. But the thing is, if you're going to say you're one thing, and you find out you're something else, like, oh, you know, I just knew a whole bunch of people in this particular area that were all English. They weren't Irish. And, you know, maybe that doesn't sound like it makes any difference here in the United States. But if you're going to be putting up your family crest, if you're going to be claiming a heritage, then claim one that makes sense. It's an odd phenomenon that we are so afraid, and it's nice to have Mercury retrograde here, to admit that, gee, we weren't right about something, or, you know, given the information I had, this is how I functioned, this is how I did stuff, this is what my mom told me I was, so yes, I must be that. But when we were shown something different, you know, how many of us don't, and myself included, don't immediately say, oh, no, that can't be right. You know, I've thought of myself as a certain way all my life. You know, how could I be anything different? But people are. Let's take our president right now, George Bush, born July 6, 1946. Birth time recorded is 7:26 a.m. in New Haven, Connecticut. And tropical astrologers would say that he is a Cancer. All right, cardinal sign, you know, which is, he certainly doesn't like the public light at all, just like his father didn't. I would tell you that he is actually a Cancer rising, because tropical astrologers would say that he is a Leo rising. How anyone could think this man is a Leo rising is just beyond me. He is so completely uncomfortable in the public limelight. He's just not who he is. Now, politics, whether you think he's a good president or an abominable president, that doesn't matter. It's just looking at the human being himself, looking at the man himself. He can't stand the limelight. And I would tell you, when he was born, and anybody born around July 6, 1946, or any year for that matter, their sun was at 20 degrees of Gemini or thereabouts. And he does think. I mean, it's just, and I know, and I'm a Democrat too, but I know all my Democrat friends are like, no, he's the dumbest president we've ever had. Don't confuse someone who does not speak well in public as someone who doesn't think a great deal. And he is about information. He does get information. How much he passes on is something different, but he is the last thing this man in the world, this man is a Leo rising. He is a Cancer rising with Saturn ascendant, Mercury, Pluto, and Venus, all in Cancer, all in that first house. And it's painful sometimes to watch him because he's so uncomfortable, speaking in front of the rest of us. Bill Clinton, on the other hand, who was born August 19th, 1946, he absolutely had the sun in Leo in either zodiac. That's kind of easy to see. Here's someone who is very comfortable in the public eye, very comfortable doing the warm handshake and being gregarious. And again, politics aside, I don't care if you thought he was a good president, bad president, whatever. It's just looking at the man himself. What he has rising, 23, I'm counting because I think, tropical astrologers say he has Libra rising. There's something to be said, when you look at first appearances because, yes, he is amiable. He is certainly an attractive man, what you think with Libra rising. But what he actually has is Virgo rising. 12 degrees Virgo rising with Mars, Neptune, Venus, and Chiron. Interesting how many of our presidents have that packed first house of all Virgo rising. And one of the first things he was criticized about, he had to change his vernacular after he got into the White House. The press corps was asking him a whole list of questions about what he was going to do, and he says, we're fixing to do something about that. Because that is a Virgo rising, or Virgo sun sign for that matter, but that's someone with heavy Virgo. Wherever you have Virgo in your chart, you're always fixing to do something about it. You're always ready to change it, improve it, make it better, make it perfect as much as you can, and then be willing to change it again. That is a lovely thing about any of the mutable signs of which Virgo is one. Always willing to change to make it better. Let me see. The other thing I wanted to mention is Leonardo DiCaprio, of all people, who the nominations for the Oscars have eluded him over. I mean, he's gotten nominated, but, he hasn't gotten any over and over and over and over and over again. And I was kind of thinking, what does this guy do to tick Hollywood off so badly that, he keeps being looked over? But I think it's a timing aspect as much as anything else. Leonardo DiCaprio was born November 11th, 1974, 2:47 a.m. in Los Angeles, California. The tropical astrologers would tell you that he is a Scorpio. I would tell you that he is actually, when he was born, the sun was in 25 degrees Libra, as well as his Mars, his Venus, part of Fortune, Mercury, and Uranus. It's a packed second house. The man does make money. He does have Virgo rising also with Pluto and the moon right there and with the ascendant in the first house. This year, during the Academy Awards, this year, and only this year, the Saturn, transiting Saturn, has gone back into his 11th house. Now, the 11th house is where, I know tropical astrologers tend to talk about community, and yes, it's about community, but it's also where you reap what you've sown. It's your house of rewards, good, bad, or indifferent, but your house of rewards. And also during this time period with Mars just going into Capricorn, into the fifth house, I think he's going to get it this year. I absolutely think he's going to get it this year. The other thing that's going to be happening, The sun is going to be right on his Jupiter in the sixth house, so it's going to be the transiting sun is going to be highlighting his showcase, his work. And I thought, you know, good for him. He's finally, you know, going to go ahead and get something here. And interesting enough, for a work that, you know, it's for Blood Diamond, a movie that, you know, exposed a lot of the seamy side of the diamond world, diamond industry. And looking at his chart, I thought, oh, how perfect is that? Because of that tacked second house in Libra, which is all about fairness, and certainly there's nothing fair at all about the diamond industry and about exposing that. So that is my one little prediction today about the Academy Awards. If you'd like to see the rest of them, they will be up on my website on the horoscopes page of mybirthchart.com. That's mybirthchart.com. On Friday, I will predict the rest of the winners. And do that. Where else? Oh, USA. The United States chart. Let me talk about the United States chart that I use. And I call it the Hauk USA chart. Again, my dear buddy Rick Hauk, he had got this time from, it was researched by another astrologer called Haloli Richter, again, over here on the East Coast. And the time she came up with is, and you have to listen carefully because it's not a time you may not recognize as you're beginning the United States chart, and I know so many, there's so many of them out there, at least a dozen. But this one is June 19th, 1776. It's June 19th, 1776, rectified to 11:53:50 a.m., and that's LMT time. So 11:53:50 LMT, and that's Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The Continental Congress was going on then, and somebody had just decided, okay, we're going to become the United States of America. The official vote had not been in yet, but there was conversations at any rate, so that's why it's been rectified to this time. This gives the United States a Virgo rising chart. So anyone with Virgo rising would certainly do well, in the public light here, because it's just, you're kind of in sync with what's going on. And you're also seen as somebody that can kind of goes along with the same values as the United States. You like to fix things. You like to change things. You like things to keep changing, to improve over and over and over again. And that's what we do here in the United States over and over and over again. My vote's not in yet on the Vista operating system, but you get the point. We keep changing stuff over and over and over again. The sun here is at 8 degrees Gemini. It's not in Cancer, even though our Mercury, our North Node, and our Moon is in Cancer, which is, that's that whole mom and apple pie. And we're rewarded when we act like that. We're rewarded when we're patriotic. We're rewarded when we take care of our own. We're rewarded when we think about taking care of our own, which would be that Mercury and Cancer. But the sun, essentially, is in Gemini, and Jupiter is right there next to it at 11 degrees. The midheaven is at 6 degrees of Gemini, and that's what we're known for, is communications. We're known for thought. We're known for, Bill Gates said, doing business at the speed of thought. And we've always been like that. We've been known for our words. What's going on in our chart right now, in the United States chart, Saturn, again, has just got back into that 11th house, which is kind of a nice place to have it. Even though it's retrograding, that's not an issue, but it is getting rewarded for things that we have done well. And yes, I know there's lots of things going on in the United States that we're not handling quite so well, but this is giving credit where credit is due, which is nice. It's a nice place to have it, as opposed to when it sinks back into that 12th house, like it'll be doing this summer, and we have to worry about. Oh, okay. Don, go ahead. I'm just waxing poetic about the Hauk USA chart, so please let this caller in.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
I guess it's our time.
But yeah, it's your time out there. It's afternoon here, but that's all right.
No, actually, I'm in Maryland as well.
Oh, for heaven's sake! So then it's good afternoon.
I had heard you say you were from the D.C. area, so I'm like, oh, wow, a local girl.
Yeah, after, like I said, born, bred, and buttered. maybe you have been, too. And it's so funny when you run into somebody else who, you know, is, too. Yeah, yeah. What are you an astrologer, or are you just listening to BBS radio?
I'm just listening to you. Just, you know, casual interest.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me look at your chart in Sidereal and see if I can shed any light in this direction as to why I use Sidereal instead of Tropical.
Okay, you want my date of birth?
Well, let me have your first name.
Julia.
Julia. Okay, and your date of birth?
September 16th, 1961.
Okay, time.
This is a guesstimate.
Close enough, okay.
10:45 a.m.
That's a good guesstimate.
And I was born at home, and nobody could actually agree on a time other than the Mighty Mouse cartoon was on.
Oh, yeah, that's funny. My daughter was born at home, and, like, everybody had, they were supposed to, like, be watching the clock.
Uh-huh.
But, of course, when she finally got here, it was like, wait, what were they doing?
Yep, that's how it was. Nobody could agree on any time. Well, I thought it was really early. No, I thought it was closer to afternoon.
Oh, that's funny.
Hello, people.
Yeah. Okay, whereabouts were you born?
Salem Center, Ohio.
Okay. All right, Julia, what I would tell you is that when you were born, the sun had just gotten into Virgo, so you don't have to switch thinking what you are, which, you know, it always makes, well, that's unless you were born, actually, you know, it's interesting, because if you were born, like, at about 9:30 a.m., you'd be a Leo, but you have stuff at Leo anyway. Okay, what I would tell you, and again, please go to mybirthchart.com, and you can have this emailed to you for free, your chart, but the sun was in 0 degrees of Virgo, and it was in the 12th house. Mercury and Mars was there. What you have rising is Libra, which is just wonderful because it's Venus. You got Neptune there, which is interesting. Oh, okay. This past year, you got two major things going on, my dear. All right. First of all, right now, and hopefully within the past week, you got an opportunity to go and convince somebody, either a boss or city hall or some organization, that they need to do something the way you think it should be done. So I don't know if you presented something at work or if you, you know, like I said, needed to convince the town hall of something, but I hope you got the opportunity to do that because it was a brilliant time to do that.
Hmm.
The other thing, and I don't know if you just had a conversation with your, some kid to say, look, don't go in this direction, go in this direction. But people were listening to you this past week. So like I said, I wish you had, I hope you had a chance to actually use that. Feeling a little excessive these days. And somewhere, this has been kind of tough for you the past 6 months as far as everybody has seen what you've done, see how you've been in public, and by that it could be, you know, your what you do in the community, what you do at work, what you do, you know, at school districts or wherever that is, and you're going to get rewarded for it, which is nice, but a ton of responsibility, and I don't know if it's made it tight on you as far as money is concerned or just tight with relationships to where you can't spend as much time with the people you'd like to be spending time with or what's going on in that direction.
Well, maybe this is yet to play out because right now I'm a stay-at-home mom and I'm getting ready to return to the workforce. It's just a matter of picking a direction because it's like, well, what do I want to do now?
Oh, yeah.
So one thing that I was kind of curious about was relocating. I've kind of had a relocation rolling around in my brain for a while now, so I didn't know if there was like an optimum time or...
I would tell you, yes, there is actually. And again, this is using sidereal whole signs. And when I say whole signs, how whole signs work is different from equal house signs. I say whole signs and a lot of people think, oh, that's equal houses. No, it's not. Whole signs, what the ancient Greeks did with this, and it was the very first house system used, was you saw where the ascendant was. In your case, the ascendant is at 24 degrees Libra, meaning 24 degrees of Libra was rising when you were born in the east, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I would start, and the whole sign house system starts that first house at 0 degrees Libra. It goes from 0 to 30, and the next house goes from 0 to 30 Scorpio, and the next house goes from 0 to 30 Sagittarius, and all the way around like that. Using the system, the midheaven can fall anywhere between like the 8th and the 12th house. And it's tough when you first start thinking about it, because everyone's so caught up on those daggone numbers, but it does, I can tell you from 18 years experience, it does work better. Okay, just a little segue in there. When I think is be a good time for you to relocate would actually be closer to October of this year. And the reason I say that is because transiting Jupiter is going to be going into your third house, like at the end of October, and that is always, you know, either getting ready to move. People find new neighborhoods, so that it may also be a good time for you to go back into the workforce. And then the following year, what people do when Jupiter is in their fourth house, either they buy a new home or get settled in the home that they picked the year before. So if you're thinking about moving as early as the fall that's coming up, the autumn that is 2007, that would be fine, or the following year, which actually would take you into 2008 for that. Are you asking timing, or are you asking, like, place for to relocate?
No, I'm actually asking timing, but if you have, if it shows or gives an indication of a place, that would be great, too, because I'm thinking sort of Arizona-ish area, but that, you know, that's just a thought that one of the things that, you know how ideas come and go. That's been one that's come and gone a few times.
A few times in there. And let's do practical, because my sun sign in either zodiac, like yours, my sun sign does not actually change between tropical and sidereal, not by constellation. It's Taurus, so I always like to be practical.
Mm-hmm.
When you say, okay, if you figure out what career direction that you want to go into first, I would do that and then pick a place. Figure out what you want to, you know, do to play with and then pick a place. And then, of course, you know, it's like what that means moving the children into different school systems,
mm-hmm.
and going along that line, as opposed to let's pick a place and then I'll start from scratch there.
Hmm. Okay.
You know, it's just more, it's like what opportunity, because, and I'll tell you why. If you get focused on, and this is for anybody, but if you get focused on what you want to do and you think about that, then all of a sudden these other places that will let that opportunity manifest will start popping up.
Okay.
And of course, and like I said, you also want to consider the school systems for your children. How old are your kids?
Well, actually, I've only got the one, and she's graduating high school this year.
Oh, okay. So then you don't have to worry about that at all.
It's just, you know,
okay,
for her deciding where she wants to go to college, and we had thought about maybe relocating there. But you know how you entertain different ideas at different times for different reasons.
For different reasons, absolutely. I do know that, and especially after the snow we just had. I'm like, I'm ready to get out of here.
Warm
weather.
Yep.
That's it. Well, I'll tell you what, I think career-wise, as far as I don't know what you used to do or what area you're thinking about, you would actually be brilliant in anything that has to do with the entertainment industry or with radio or something, you know, behind the scenes doing production work or doing something along those lines. You'd just be really, really good at that. You'd also, and kind of it sounds like the other extreme. See, that's why you say Arizona. I'm thinking, this woman likes water too much. Why in the world would she move to Arizona? Because you would just, there's no water out there, is there?
Just lakes.
Yeah, it's lakes, because it's mostly a desert, isn't it?
actually, it's got a variety. It's got mountain area and, you know, it's kind of got a little bit of...
It's got a little bit of
diversified
everything.
...diversified terrain there.
Yeah,
but
I would...
It's not water, you're right.
No, and water's good for you. Water is good for you. So, I mean, I would just soon see you managing like a crab house down on the water. You know, really, making people happy. Wouldn't you love that? Having them come in and you're taking care of them and they know your name?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's gregarious.
That's funny.
You need to be out there.
That is funny. And it's funny that you had said water, because other people have mentioned that to me in the past about water, and it's like, I do like water. I find it very soothing and relaxing, and it just calms me, you know. It's just like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So that's the direction. So, you know, first think about, you know, at this point, let me see. Three, you are mid-40s.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you've got what, about half your life done. So you got the half of it, that you want to go out and play and have a good time and enjoy yourself as much as anything else.
Yeah.
You know, and make money while you're doing that, too. But, like I said, if you're going to consider, relocating, of course, wherever she goes to college. All right, so that's in the fall, and then maybe do something the following year more permanent.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say, you know, give yourself some time to think about, you know, having fun with what do you want to do with the rest of your life, the rest half of your life.
Yeah.
Or at least for the next 20 years, and then you can go do something else.
I definitely want to take your advice and do something fun. I'm ready for some serious
fun. Yeah. Yeah, and you're good at that. The other thing, like I said, don't discount how comfortable that you make people feel, and how that you can make them just feel relaxed, feel like they're having a good time, or that they should enjoy themselves. Mm-hmm. So, and that is a whole lot of careers or jobs, whatever you want to call them, vocations even,
mm-hmm.
that circle around that. And it can be anything from, you know, owning a restaurant or being the, you know, the head, what the heck do they call them there, receptionists or people that sit people, you know, the woman that mm-hmm. they always meet or whatever,
mm-hmm.
Doing that kind of thing, or some sort of activity where you bring them in and you make them feel comfortable about where they are, make them happy to be there, and, you know, relax them.
Nice. And so you're feeling either October-ish, either this year or next year, one or the other?
Well, the October, what you're going to be doing, I'll tell you what you will be doing towards the end of October, and for the 12 months after that, you will be, and anybody who's got sidereal Libra rising, this is good for them, no matter where the rest of the planets are, you will be immersed in a new neighborhood of some sort. So that could be either you've gone out and you found a job, so you've got a new neighborhood of people to associate with, a new group of peers. It could be that you've moved, so you've got physical new neighbors. It could be even so much as taking up a new hobby to where you're spending a lot of time at that, and you've got a new peer group that is in your life. What a lot of people will start doing is renovating their kitchens during this time period. They renovate their kitchens to the point so they can have their neighbors in, so they can feel comfortable, because you know how we are with our kitchens, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So anyone with Libra rising, sidereal Libra rising, is going to be doing that. If you have siblings, brothers or sisters, they're going to be in your life to where you're like, so you just want to shake them off at the end of the year. It's okay, enough is enough is enough. You know, they'll be in your life quite a bit. So that is a time that you could be moving, or you could just be in a new neighborhood or peer group. And then definitely when Jupiter gets into your fourth house, which will be about 18 months from now, and particularly since you were born, anyone born in 1961 there was September 16th or around that, Jupiter was in Capricorn, and in your case it's in the fourth house, that's definitely either finding a new nest, finding a new home, or refurbishing the home that you have completely. Now, if your daughter's up and gone, you know, that's certainly, what are we going to do with her bedroom, dear? You know, if you're still home, or the home that you have now.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, you will certainly be moving into a new home.
Well, considering she chose her colors of bright pink and bright yellow, we'll definitely be
getting out the paint.
Yeah, you don't give teenagers a choice.
Well, you know, it's a choice. I know. I tell you what, I started when I had my child, my sister was already a grandmother like twice over. You know, I started really late.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been fun in a lot of ways, and it's actually kept me young. But I have certainly learned about limited choices. You can have choices, dear, but I'm limiting the choices.
There you go. Yep.
Making it easier. Well, it's lovely that you called in. Thank you so much. I appreciate
that.
Thank you.
And this was wonderful.
Okay, well, please, like I said, check out. I do the free horoscopes every week on mybirthchart.com. And please go to searchbythestars.com. Gift Giving by the Stars is the name of the book, but searchbythestars.com. And start putting in people's birthdays, and you'll see that, okay, this matches their personality. This makes more sense. Like I said, it's easier for you because you don't have to switch sun signs. But I know, but when you do, when people do, and 75% of the population does, they get kind of antsy about it. So.
Well, you know what's interesting, and I'll let you go. I don't want to keep you holding here, but my husband's birthday is September 15th, 1961.
Oh,
so he's the day before me.
Okay, so September 15th. Well, he is definitely a Leo then.
Yeah.
And
I was going to say, for us to be one day apart, we're not exactly alike.
Alike, yeah. And you know what? And that's what I was saying. I don't know if you were hearing at the top of the hour about, or the bottom of the hour, whichever it was, about when I was trying to, you know, you got to be one or the other. And I hate that sloppy astrology that says, oh, it's a cusp. Yes, you have all 12 in you. I mean, you have all 12 constellations in you in some way or the other. But your sun sign is one or the other. You're one thing, or you know, you're either fish or fowl. And he is definitely, he's 29 degrees Leo, 29-14. Oh, and he's kind of a royal person, too. So, but no, he does. He carries himself like that. I would love to see you two own some little restaurant or something, mom and pop. Get a Lido's Pizza franchise. You'd have a blast. You two would have a blast doing it.
Yep.
I'm serious. Oh God, that I just think, and you could move with that because the franchise will go anywhere. So.
That's nice because that was one of the things a long time ago I had thought about having, you know, just a small place somewhere. You know, maybe
well, and you certainly know what
Lido's
Pizza is.
I'm sorry?
I said you certainly know what Lido's Pizza is.
Yeah.
If you're from Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there you go. You two would just, I'm telling you, I'm looking at his chart right now, which, of course, is just the day before yours. I'm not sure of time, of course, but I'm thinking these two would just love this. They would just, what a way to spend their golden years and have a good time.
Cool.
That's nice.
Well,
thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Okay, bye now.
Have a great day.
Well, I think that's just about done it for my 55 minutes. We've gone a little over here because we started a little late. I want to thank you all for listening. And if anybody is in the Northern Virginia area, tomorrow night, the Astrological Association of Northern Virginia, that's the AANV, the Astrological Association of Northern Virginia, is having its monthly meeting at Mama Lucia's. That's at Fair City Mall in Fairfax, Virginia. It's right off of 236. And again, that's Mama Lucia's at Fair City Mall in Fairfax, Virginia. We meet at 7:30, but we usually get there a little bit earlier, have something to eat. Bring your sense of humor, your common sense, and couple of pennies to go ahead and buy a cup of coffee or something, and anyone is more than welcome. Look for the people sitting at the table with charts and discussing loudly Mercury retrograde. Again, thank you all so very much. I'm Debs the Horoscopes Lady, and I'll be back at, what time is it, 10 a.m. Pacific Time and 1 p.m. Eastern Time next week on BBS Radio. Thank you much. Bye now.